house, Lord God, worshiping your name, Lord God, worshiping all that you are, Lord God, all that you've been, Lord God, and all that you will be, Lord God, in our lives, Lord God. Lord God, let us not just give thanks at Thanksgiving, Lord God, but give thanks at Easter, Lord God, that you have given your life for us, Lord God, that we may live abundantly, Lord God, and live that abundant life, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord God, for everyone here. I ask that you bless the word, bless each and every one, Lord God, now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good evening. Welcome to Family Worship Center. Riley Favorite, yes you are. Amen. Give thanks. That was a good song for this occasion. That we give thanks, you know what I mean? Not just on Thanksgiving, but every day. Amen. It should be part of us. I like what my wife opened with. She said, and I love that there's a couple words in there that just catch me. And whosoever, say whosoever. Whosoever. And whatsoever. Whosoever and whatsoever. I love that because that it's open to every one of us because of Jesus Christ for what he's done. That everybody have access to the Father, to the power, to the Spirit of God, because of Christ. So whosoever. But the key thing is to understand whatsoever. So it's whosoever believeth, then you can have whatsoever. But it's what you believe in determines whatsoever. Because sometimes, listen, sometimes we wonder why things aren't working out, but we have to stop and say, what am I believing determines whatsoever. It really does. We got to recognize that and see that. The fruit of our life, what you're believing, determines what you're producing. Whatsoever. Amen? So we all want to move mountains. We all want to be there, but it takes faith. It takes what you believe in. What do you believe in? Amen? So tonight, I just want to go over a couple of things. I want to share just something about the scripture and how that it's prophetic and how that it declares to us over 300 times about the birth, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And there's only one person, scholars, historians, even people that aren't Christians, but know that there was Christ existed. Jesus Christ existed. He lived. And they just... It takes faith to believe that he is the Son of God. Amen? But they believe this. They understand that. They know this timing. But I want you to see that only Christ, at this specific time, these scriptures fulfill this. They declare it. Can only happen at this moment. Amen? That this happened. This happened. Amen? So it's all there for us to believe, but it's by faith. So whether we have this or not, it doesn't matter. Really, I mean, even if I don't have that, some of you might not even know some of these scriptures. Amen? But you still believe. So I just want to encourage you tonight, when you see this and you see some of these scriptures, that encourage you to understand it's prophetically declared. Amen? Just to confirm your faith, to get you to stand strong. Amen? All right. So... let me say this. Oh, yeah. I'm going to read a couple things. I found this, and I thought this was cool. Of the best-known prophecies in the Hebrew Scriptures concerning the death of the Messiah is in Psalms 22, and it is in Isaiah 53. Psalms 22 is especially amazing. It's predicted numerous elements about the crucifixion 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified. 1,000 years. Amen? The Messiah will have his hands and his feet pierced. That is in Psalms 22:16, and it's in John 25. Remember how they said, let me see. Amen. That was the evidence of it. That look, they said, until I see it. Amen. Come on. Amen. And so, but it was prophesied from the beginning. He says this. It says, and the Messiah will have his hands and his feet pierced. And the Messiah's bones will not be broken. A person's legs were usually broken after the crucifixion to speed up the death. Amen? But they were not broken in Jesus. We're going to read these couple. And the Messiah will be buried with the rich. Remember? He was buried with what's his name? Oh, geez, hang on, don't say it. Do you guys know his name? Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks. It's part of my sermon, too. I just missed that. Yeah, Joseph of Arimathea. And he says, and the Messiah will be buried with the rich. He gave up his tomb. Amen. Isaiah 53:9, Matthew 27:57-60. The Messiah will be with criminals in his death. Wow. So let's just look at this Psalms 22 real quick. I mean, you know, we all celebrate this. I preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ every single week. You all know that because I preach with the power of Christ, of what He's done and how that we can take hold of that. But it's important for us to understand this, that you can look at after Jesus went to the cross, and remember He showed Himself and He's walking on the road to Emmaus. Do you remember that? Where He was on the road to Emmaus and those disciples were there and they see Jesus, but they don't know who He is yet because they didn't recognize Him as glorified being and body. And they were just walking with Him. And they said, don't you know what happened? Like, are you kidding me? Don't you know? Don't you read the paper? You know, and they're amazed at what's happening. And He's like, and He asked them, He said, what things did He do? Now, that catches the attention because He's asking them, He says, do you really know what things I did? Do you recognize it? Amen? So it's important to know the whole Scripture, to recognize it. Even affirms, amen, it was an example for the Jews to say the Messiah will come. This is who He is. This is the prediction of the Messiah. Here He is right in front of them. But come on, they had disbelief. They were whosoever, just like us. And He says, let me read this. And He says, and my God, thou hast forsaken me. Why art thou far from me? Do you remember that when Jesus cried out, He says, my Father God, He says, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the moment where He was overfilled. Amen. The Father had to turn away and look away. Come on. Amen. Because of the sin that He took on Himself. He never sinned, but He took upon Himself our sin, everything that we've done, everything that happened, all the anguish, all the pain, all the sorrow, cancer, sickness, disease. He experienced all of that. Amen. Come on. And He says, and He began to declare, and He says, my God, He says, I cry in thee daytime and hearest thou, but thou holy, you're holy. And He begins to declare, keeps going. He says, and thy cried unto thee and were delivered. I was delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, reproach of men, despise the people. All they that laugh at me scorn, shoot out their lip, shake their heads at me. He trusted the Lord, blah, 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 blah. Let me just keep reading down here. But be not far from me. Many bulls have compassed me. He says, they gaped upon me. They gaped upon me, their mouths, as ravening and roaring lions. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. They weren't broken. Come on. Amen. He says, my heart is like wax. It melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaw. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. He's described, this is a prophetic description of Christ on the cross. He says, for dogs have compassed me, assembly and wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. There it is. He says, I may tell all my bones. They stare upon me. They parted my garments and they cast the lots upon vesture. Remember, they did that. There's another example of what happened. This was another prophetic prophecy for the Jews to see here. Amen? But they were blinded. They were blinded. Save from the lion's mouth, that is the devil. For thou hast heard me, the horns of the eunuchs, I will declare thy name into my brethren, blah, 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 blah. For thou hast despised, nor arbored the afflictions. Sorry for my reading. I can't see sometimes. My praise shall be of thee. And it keeps going down. The meek shall eat and be satisfied, and they shall praise the Lord and seek Him. All the ends of the earth, all they that found the earth and his seed shall serve Him. And they shall come and shall declare the righteous unto the people that shall be born, that He hath done this. Amen. And the next scripture is what? Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen? That's powerful. It leads right into that. Because of that, now He is your shepherd. The Lord is what? My shepherd. Tell somebody He's my shepherd. That's what, you know, I want you to see that. That He, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. That I have to take hold of that. Whosoever can declare whatsoever when you realize He's my shepherd. And realize what He did for you. Because the Bible says, the sheep that hear my voice, amen, they that hear my voice. So we have to be at a, we have to be at a place of faith, the understanding and opening up and realizing what He did. And realizing the Scriptures and how we're empowered, amen, to believe, to be empowered. He gives us the strength to do that. Hallelujah. Let me just read a couple here. He says, the resurrection from the dead is foretold, and on the Jewish day. And when Peter preached the first gospel sermon, he boldly asserted that God had raised Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, from the dead. Acts 2:24. He then explained that God had performed His miraculous deed in fulfillment of David's prophecy in Psalms 16. In fact, Peter quoted the words of David in detail contained Psalms 16 through 18. Some years later, Paul did the same thing when he spoke of the Jewish community of Antioch. Like Peter declared that God had raised the Messiah, Jesus, from the dead. There it is again. He's continually bringing back the Old Testament and declaring it into the new. The resurrection of the Messiah is strongly implied in David's Psalms. Again, this is in Psalms 19 through 21. The suffering Savior prays for deliverance. And then in Isaiah 53, after prophesying that the suffering servant of God would suffer for the sins of the people, the prophet says he would then be cut off from the land of the living. But Isaiah states that his offspring, that he will have offspring. Amen. We are that. Say amen. Isaiah proceeds to reaffirm the promises of resurrection in different words. As a result, anguish of his soul, he will see light and be satisfied. That's powerful. And it goes all the way through. We could see that. We could see even the birth of Christ and all that. But I wanted to say that for you to understand that it's important for us to know that this was declaring something beforehand. Amen? So it was right before them. Those that knew the Scriptures wouldn't miss that. Amen? But they did. So let's look at Ephesians. I want to read this Scripture again. I've read this a couple times, and I pray that you catch it. Amen? I pray that you catch it. I pray that you grab hold of it, because this is powerful. Because, and what I'm saying is, whosoever, whatsoever, to have whatsoever, you have to understand this right here. And he says, and the eyes of your understanding, he says that this is in 17. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. That you have understanding, knowledge and revelation. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Remember I said that it be flooded with light. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now remember, when it says calling, that means what form you are in. What form I am in. When I'm enlightened, I got to understand that I'm no longer the old man, but I'm brand new. Amen? What gives me that? The cross. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I'm no longer. So I have to be enlightened to that. That's what changed our walk. That's what changed our ways. That's what changed our actions. We understand how I'm not the same anymore. I'm brand new. I'm new in Christ. And he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power? Say His power. To us who believe. Listen, I want you to see that. That if you believe, it's His power. It's the power of Christ. I'm not going to take my glasses off anymore. To us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. His mighty power, which He brought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities, powers, and might, and dominion, in every name that is also that which is come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body, that was fullness of Christ that filleth all things. Listen, it is in his power that he's done this. It's in his power. Amen? So let's look at Colossians 2. You know, you ever hear the story that one time about the guy that went across Niagara Falls and he had a rope and they had a rope across it and he was doing this was in the, I don't know, early 1900s or whatever it was, but they had a rope stretched across the part of the falls and I believe it's a true story. But he would walk across it. Amen. So he wanted to do something more outlandish. And he asked the people after they'd seen him do this. Amen. They watched him do this. He asked them. He says, hey, how many of you guys believe that I could cross this? Yeah, we've seen. Yes, we believe. Come on. Amen. Say, we believe. And then he gets a wheelbarrow and he says, all right. He says, I want you somebody to get in this wheelbarrow. And they said, do you think that I can wheel somebody across this tightrope? Do you believe I can? Yes, we believe you can. He says, let me have a volunteer. Now they believed that he could do it. But when it came down to them getting in the wheelbarrow and being the one to go across, it becomes a different story. See, there's some things, I want you to get this, whosoever, whatsoever, to get this concept, that it's one thing to believe, but it's another thing to really believe and get in it. Amen? To get in it, to grab hold of it, to get in it and say, just take me, amen? And that comes the power, but it is the power of God that will persuade you, that will move you, the Spirit of God that will drive you, that will move you. As we begin to hear God's Word, it begins to take hold of us. We begin to believe it and quote it and declare it and speak it over our lives, amen? It'll produce life. That's what it does, amen? So Colossians, I'm just going to give you these scriptures. I want you to see the power of what he did. Colossians 2:13, and it says, let me jump up a little bit. Let's go from 10. And it says, you are complete in him, which is the head of the principalities and powers, in whom you are circumcised in the circumcision made without hands, putting on the body the sins of the flesh and circumcision of Christ, buried with him in the baptism, wherein also you are risen with him. I'm risen with him. Amen? I'm buried and I'm risen. Say brand new. So I want you to recognize something. Your beginning was at the cross. Your beginning as me as a Christian in Christ was 2,000 years ago. It began with Christ. So all of our beginnings, my birthday was on that resurrection. Come on, do you get that? The most important birthday I will ever celebrate is this weekend. Technically, you know what I'm saying. Is the resurrection. That's my beginning. See, when there's where the power is, when you recognize it as being your beginning. It's your beginning. Amen? And he says, buried with him, he says, in you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting and ordinances that were against you, which was contrary to us. And he took it out of the way. He took it out of the way. Nailing it to his cross. To whose cross? To his cross. He nailed it to his cross. So whatever that was, whatever the thing is in our lives, whatever those things are that were contrary to who we are in him, he nailed it to the cross. So I want us to recognize is to really believe, get in that wheelbarrow, is not to take it back off the cross again. Not to take it back off the cross again. What he placed on the cross. Not to dig up my old nature of who I used to be anymore. Come on. Try to resurrect that old self of who I was. That's what we do when we look back. Come on, amen? That's what we do. So we have to learn not to look back. That's what I said, what I've been talking about, tossed to and fro, that we're tossed by every wind and every doctrine of things in the past, things that used to be. But he wants us to stand. Where? Stand in the cross. Stand in the place of our resurrection, amen? Stand in that place in him. Not to be moved, but to stand in that place. Knowing what he did for me is enough. Come on, amen. I can't add anything to it. Amen? I can't do anything more. What He did for me was enough. Come on, amen? See, that kind of believing changes the way that you act. It changes, it should change the way, because, like I said, having that world, really getting into it, this is believing, is whenever I begin to love you, love people that despitefully use me, or I can't forgive somebody, but really believing is getting in that world. That's what will empower you to forgive. Am I making sense? See, because I sometimes say, well, do I really believe? I have to stop and say, my God, Lord, please strengthen me, God. Strengthen me. Strengthen me, Holy Spirit. Move me, God, to believe that way. Help my unbelief. Move me, God. Quicken me. Amen? He says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, and He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. It's tough. Triumphing. You got it. Ephesians 3. Are you okay? Just want to give you a couple of these scriptures. See, I kept you a long Saturday, so I'm going to keep you short tonight. Is that right? Amen. Thanks. Listen, the Ephesians 3:16, he says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened. This is what I was saying, to be strengthened with the might of the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. How far did He go back? The width, the depth, the height. How deep did He go? See, He wants us to comprehend how far, come on, that power goes. How deep it goes. How far, how wide it goes. So that whosoever can say about whatsoever. Amen? And He says, and that we might be able to know the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge. Amen. That we might be filled with the fullness of God. And now, unto Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in what? Where's the power? In us. Exceedingly and abundantly above all, He works in us. Come on, we got to let Him work out of us. Amen? We got to let Him work out of us. And it begins by what we're believing, what we're hearing, what are we declaring in our lives, what are we thinking. Amen? Do I have the mind of Christ? Recognize what He did for me? Make it my own? When I relate to the cross of Christ, when I see that, I relate it, I identify it with my death? Come on, amen? That's something that we meditate on. We think about it. That we can know whenever we're walking with Christ. He says, what things did I do? Do you really know? Because He went all the way back to the prophecies that I talked to you about. He went all the way back to the beginning. And says, from the foundation of the earth. He says, Christ was slain. He went all the way and began to declare who He was. That He was the rock that followed the children. The water that came out of the rock. Amen. He was the pillar of fire. Amen. He was the cloud. He was the serpent lifted up on a pole. That was all Christ. Amen. Like we talked about. So, He says, and let me read this. John 10:25. Just want to give you a couple of scriptures here. Are you okay? Listen, I'm going to go from this part. It says, and it was. And I want us to see something here. I want us to relate to this. That I looked up how many times did they try they really don't give you a number, but we could see some of them here, about how many times they tried to kill Christ before they really killed him. And it was about what he was saying. Now, I want us to get this and just grab it, okay? Because I want you to know that what is he saying to you that sometimes we don't let grow in our lives? That sometimes we're crucifying. What I mean is, when he tells you and gives you the understanding in the scripture about who you really are, abundantly and above all, that you're empowered, that you are a child of God. Amen? When you hear that, what do we do with it? Do we let that word be choked? Or do we stand on it and believe it? When we stand here every single Saturday night and say, I am blessed and highly favored, has nothing to do with my condition or where I am. It's about what He did for me. Amen? It's about what He did for me. Amen? We got to separate the two. We got to can't look in our condition and say, oh, well, no, listen, no. We have to stand. It's like my wife says, we don't just plant the seed and all of a sudden see this, resurrection lilies. But it takes time for it to grip, to grow, nourish it. You believe it. You keep encouraging yourself. You stand in this place. When you feel like, man, you begin to praise. You begin to lift up His name. You begin to press through. Amen? And you're built up inside. Your inner man is strengthened. Amen? And the working of God is happening in your life. Amen? It's a process. That's what's so beautiful about our walk with God. It's God's walking with you, working the Spirit of God, working in you, working up on you. Let Him work up on you. Amen? And we don't crucify those words. We don't put them to death, but we let them come alive. And He says, and Jesus walked in the temple, He says, and He came to the Jews around about Him. And He says, how long, listen to this. He says, how long wilt thou make us doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us. Tell us plainly. Listen, He can't get any more plain than He's about ready to right here. Listen, actually, it was more plain than His disciples that were with Him wanted Him to get. But He went this far. You ready? And He says, I told you, He says, and believe not, the works that I do, My Father's name, they bear witness of Me. Bad thing. Listen, He says, but you believe not because you are not of My sheep. And as I said unto you, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. Listen, remember this. They follow Me, what? In death, burial, and resurrection. They follow Me in what I did for them, to empower them, to give them the ability to say, I am a child of God. Those who follow Me to the cross and lose their life, they'll hear My voice. And He says, I gave unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of My hand. My Father, that's ticking some people off. He said, My Father, He says, gave them to Me and is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My hands. And I, My Father, are one. Then the Jews took up stones. They grabbed rocks, and they're ready to take Him out. And Jesus said, many good works have I showed you from the Father. For which those works do you stone Me? The Jews answered and saying to Him, good work, we are stoned not thee, but the blaspheme, because that thou, being a man, made thyself God. Now here's the one that I told you about, where that this really infuriated them, because this is what He said. He says, Jesus said to them, is not written in the law, in the word, I said. Does it not say? No. He said, does it not say, I said, you are God's? See, He was taking ownership of it. He says, I said. In Psalms 82:6, it says, "You are God's." Does that make you uncomfortable? Just be honest. See, I want you to hear this, though. See, he was saying them, he was saying, "You're not God." He said, "But you are God's." He told Moses, he says, "Moses, you will be God to them. You will be in my stead, my ambassador. You will declare I am to him." Amen? See, unless you know that, you can't walk in that authority. You can't walk in that power. You'll have power over Pharaoh when you said, "I am." It's nothing about who we are. It's what he's done. Amen? When you begin to take ownership and understanding, he says, "You are God's. We are Christ. No longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me." Amen? He says, that's what Paul said. Paul says, "You are Christ." That's his image and his likeness. Remember, that's what the Father made us to be, in his image and his likeness. To be created in his image and likeness. So it's not blasphemy. See, they didn't understand it, and they crucified him. When that makes us uncomfortable, we got to stop and say, why does that make me uncomfortable? Because God has, because of what Christ did, I am in his image and likeness. Now that's given me authority and power in his name. That whatsoever, that I could say that my Father has sent me. See, that's what Jesus declared. I'm not saying we're gods. It's not a cult. Y'all know where I'm coming from, right? Come on. You are my representatives. You are my nature, my likeness, my image. You look like God. Listen, and he says, and let me jump over here into John 7. Listen to this. And he says, "I am." Remember, this is making them very mad. He says, "I am." He says, "I am what? The bread of life. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." He says, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven." Remember, they're trying to get him to tell them, just tell us plainly, are you the Christ? And he says, "And a man may eat thereof and eat and die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And Jesus, and the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give his flesh to be eaten?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat my flesh." Now, come on, I've told you this before, but just imagine his disciples. How are we going to explain this? Okay? But he doesn't stop with that. Because he goes on and he says, "And drink my blood." Remember, I want you to understand, what did I say? Those that follow me. Follow me, amen, to the cross. So if we identify with his death, burial, and resurrection, we can identify with this. Those that eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, amen. Those that eat of my words, of who I am, of what I've done for you, what things that I did for you. If you eat these things, you will have life. If you drink my blood, what is that? If you take hold of my life in exchange, you lay down your life and take my life, the blood flowing, amen, the blood, the power of his blood, amen. He says, "And eateth in my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Listen, you will be as God. His blood, his life flowing through you. What a powerful representation. To understand that God has bestowed that upon us, that we represent him. The very life and being of God flowing through us. Listen, this isn't just a dream. This is a reality. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And the living Father hath, and as the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. They're not even listening by this time. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat, or the dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things shall he said in the synagogue, and they taught, and he taught in Capernaum. Listen, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is hard saying. Who can hear this?" Remember, whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth. Wow. I am becoming one with God, partaking of Him. Do you understand? That's what happens. Begin to hear His voice. I'm eating His bread, His life. This is the life of God. Amen? And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the blood of the life of Christ flowing through these veins. Amen? Moving me. Amen? It's the blood that gives you life. It's the blood that causes you to move. Amen? Without any blood, you can't move. You have no life. Amen? He says, and when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" Now listen, I want us to hear this, understand. It's like that world believing the faith. Does this offend you? What kind of belief do you have in me? Do you believe? Are you believing in me? And he says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning, believe not and should betray him. He knew it from the beginning. But yet he still went to the cross. Amen? Because he wanted whosoever to take care of it. Listen, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man the letters, having never learned them? How does he know all of the word? Listen, I want you to hear this and know that they knew what he was quoting was the word of God. But yet they didn't believe. How many times do we hear that we know that this is the word of God, but yet not believe? That we're wavered to the left and to the right. We let the cares of this world disrupt our thinking, get us off track, get us derailed instead of standing on it. He says, and the Jews marveled, saying, he says, and Jesus said unto them, my doctrine is not mine, but his that has sent me. Wow. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. And no unrighteous is in him. Amen? So if we could see that and understand the power of that, it awakens us. Let me finish with this. You guys good? Any questions? Anybody got any questions? Anybody have any wonders? You're wondering about something? Testimony? This is the scripture. Luke 24:19. It says, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was the prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. That's what he was declaring. He says, and then this. And then Jesus said this. O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Believe all. Say, believe all. He says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And he began to go from Moses and he expounded it all the way through. Listen. And it says, but He said, and he drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. Listen, I want you to hear this and understand. When you hear Christ, when you hear his word, it'll cause you to constrain him, to desire him. That's what the word of God does. I need more. See, when we hear that word and we take hold of it, it causes us to hunger for more, to desire more. I want you to know this, man, and I say this reverently, but I know about my addiction when I was a drug addict. Do you know when I took hold of that in my life, it gripped me, it constrained me. Every morning when I wake up, it was the first thing I thought of. How I was going to get that. How I was going to find my way to get high, no matter what the cost. From the moment that I got up to the time that I went to bed, that's all I thought about. Listen, I desired it so much above everything, above my family. Above everything, every want, every desire in my life, that's what it gripped me. I want you to know the enemy did that to me to try to get me off course, amen, to get me to love something, to grab something, to care about something more than him. But I want you to know that just like that, greater than that, come on, I'm not comparing it to that, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, just like that, that I want you to know that his life that's eternal, that's real, that lasts, that moves you, that's alive, grips you, constrains you when you hear it. Amen? If you let it get a hold of you, that it'll move you from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed. It'll cause you to come alive. It'll cause you to move. It'll cause you to turn, to hear, to be alive. That's what the Word of God does. If those drugs did that, how much more? Amen? All it does, the more I get of it, the more life I get, the more drugs I do, the more death I get. It breaks me down and kills me. But the Word of God caused me to become alive and grow. That's what the Word of God does. And he said, 3 minutes. He says, abide with us. That's what they're saying. Abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass that as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it. Listen, this is what happens. You begin to eat bread. When you begin to eat of what he's done, death, burial, and resurrection. Begin to eat the bread. Come on, we talk about what this means. He broke the bread, and he gave the bread. That talks about who he is. It taught death, burial, and resurrection. They took the bread. Come on. The Father took his Son. Amen. He gave his Son. He broke his Son. And he blessed his Son. Come on. Amen. He took his Son. Amen. He says, just like all these. He said that we could see this. He said he took the bread. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. And he gave them. That's what the Father did to his Son. And he gave it to us. That's the bread that we eat. That's the life that we partake of. And he says, and it came to pass as he sat, and he says, and their eyes, when you partake of the death, burial, and resurrection, your eyes will be opened. Flooded with light. See, that's what the message of the cross is. It's not just one-time story. It's something that we apply, that we take hold of it every moment of our lives. We make it part of who we are. I always tell you that we have to read the Word of God, what? Through the cross. I think I say that all the time. We have to read the Bible through the cross. Amen? Because that's where it began. He was slain from the foundation of the earth. Amen? It begins with the cross. It begins with the cross. It's not chronological. We can't look at the Bible that way. We have to look at it and say, it begins with the cross. Wow. And that empowers us. It moves us. Makes us to become alive. You know, I think of Arimathea, women, what he did. He went there and he went and he asked for the body. Remember, he went in there and he asked them. He says, Pilate, he says, may I have the body of Christ? And they said, well, go check and see if he's dead. And if he's dead, he can have him. And I want you to know that he begged for the body. He was desperate for the body. I have to place Him in my grave. There is something powerful that we have to be that way. He has to be in my place. He put Him in what? In His own personal grave. That death, burial, and resurrection was Arimathea's. Do you get that? He put Him in His grave. Jesus died in my place. He took my place. Hallelujah. He rose again. Amen. He came out of that tomb. He rose from that tomb. And that's so powerful. That's one question I love. Did you know that? Did you get that? Did you get that? Is that why you did that? Were you inspired by the Spirit? But did you get it after? When did you get it? Did you grab hold of that? That you placed Him in your tomb. Wow. That's powerful. So I want you to know that whosoever becomes whatsoever when we place Him in our tomb. When we recognize what He did. That He rose and He's empowered. And that power, same power is in me. Amen? So let's celebrate that. And let's get in the world, bro. Don't hesitate. Jump in the world, bro. Say, take me. I'll go. This is crazy. Come on, amen. This is nuts, but man, I just know this is right. Heavenly Father, I thank You, God. I pray to God, Lord, that You just move with them. It's only by Your power, God. It's only by Your power do we believe, God, Lord, that we take hold of this, God. That You give us the gift, God, Lord, of faith, God, Lord. That we have this gift, God, Lord, that we take hold of it, God. And we believe, God. It's a fruit of the Spirit, God. It comes from, God, Lord, that of what we believe, God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So I pray to God, Lord, that we just become a people that God just turns our ear to hear, and we constrain the Word of God, that we grab hold of it, and we don't let it go. Let it become part of who we are. In Jesus' name, amen.